Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. It's the only show that's part of this complete breakfast. I'm your announcer, Tony Partington. Coming up on this edition of The Scope...
All right, Jared and Shane here after a super sneak preview of the summer tentpole, blockbuster summer smash to be, Captain America, the First Avenger.
Absolutely.
Starring, Chris Evans, Tommy Lee Jones, Hugo Weaving.
And a bunch of other people.
One
guy with Neil McDonough, I think that's his name, whatever, with a very large mustache.
Yeah, so
I appreciated that.
We've got Sebastian Stan playing Bucky. Who else here?
All you Stan fans.
Stanley Tucci, another Stan.
Oh, that's who that was. Tucci, okay. I'm like, I know that guy, I just can't remember who he is.
So, yeah, it's a pretty nicely cast movie. The story, it is an origin story.
Of course.
Takes place in the 40s,
yep.
I assume. Telling how Captain America came to be.
A young, pint-sized Steve Rogers is a wimp. He gets beat up on. But all he wants to do is fight for his country and do what's right. Keeps getting turned down, though.
But
they won't take him in the army because he's got too many problems.
Little does he know, the army has some secrets up their sleeves.
They got plans.
They've got a secret underground scientific program.
Yep.
And he catches the eye of one former. He is a German. A German scientist.
Yep, living in Queens,
a turncoat or traitor or moved away, I don't know. He went to the side of right, and he likes that spunk of young Steve, skinny Steve Rogers.
He's got something. He sees something in Steve that he's looking for.
Yes. So needless to say, a bunch of shenanigans and tomfoolery happens, and Steve Rogers becomes Captain America.
Yes, he does.
And he is put out there to fight the Nazis. But yet, more than the Nazis, he's out there to fight the Red Skull.
Yes, and Hydra.
And Hydra.
Hydra is the
scientific Nazi underground.
Well, there you go. It's the science versus science.
It's a lot of science.
So
we won't spoil the movie for you guys, other than there's a lot of fighting, there's a lot of army stuff, there's a lot of World War II business going on there, some shield throwing, patriotic stars and bars. It's all in this movie. But, Jared, we're not here to talk about the plot of the movie.
No.
We are here to tell our listeners what we think of it,
yes,
and if they should see this film.
That is our sole purpose.
So why don't you start it out? What's your, we're done, we're 10 minutes out of this thing. What's your feeling?
You know, in three words, I liked it. I thought it cast the perfect tone. It's definitely a counterpoint to your emo, mopey superhero films. It's, I don't know, I thought it was well-paced. You know, the story is exactly what it needed to be. It was an origin story with lots of action, and not too much in the way of subplots to get you confused. So, hey, what do you want? As far as just, you know, a basic... As far as the movie, you know, on a surface level, I think it's a lot of fun, and it's definitely worth seeing.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think that this movie does everything that it needs to do for a Captain America story.
Yep.
It's straight ahead. There's no goofiness. There's no trickery. I think that it plays like the main character, which is earnest, a bit naive, perhaps a bit innocent.
Certainly,
it's a different type of film. So we got people watching.
Shane
right
ramps
now.
Down the volume as a gentleman walks by the car here.
So I,
it's okay. He'll be gone soon. Don't worry.
Anyway, so I think that is a good thing about the movie, and I also think that it might even be my. If I had a problem with this film, that's what I think.
A bit too earnest?
I think that it lacks a little bit. It lacked a little bit of sass or a little bit of, I don't want to say heart, but but it didn't have quite the same hook to me. Like walking out of Iron Man, you know, like that's like I sort of got that tongue in cheek smile, you know that. You know what I mean?
I can see that point. At the same time, though, I think they were playing it more like a film from the era, which would not have been that way.
Yes, so I agree with you. You can't put in like, oh, snap, you know, is one of the lines. I mean, you have to play it like these people from the 40s.
There really wasn't any sarcasm. No. You know, jokes were definitely more of the physical variety.
You had one line from Tommy Lee Jones who said, ooh, that's awkward, which is that's clearly a modern interpretation of awkward. So, I think overall... That worked for it, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it'll be interesting to see what the Avengers takes as far as tone goes now that, I don't think this is a spoiler, now that Mr. Captain Rogers has been transported to the future.
Yes.
Or the current, present time.
You might learn
if
you that.
Didn't, if you didn't know that was going to happen, sorry.
Yeah. And you will know, like, 2 minutes into the film. Yeah. So yeah, I think that, I love these car meetings we have.
Yeah.
Because it allows us to rant and rave about the likes of Green Lantern. It allows us to rant for hours and hours on Transformers.
Certainly.
And I don't really think there's anything that you can pick on this film about. I mean, the special effects, while sometimes a little blue screeny, I think were very...
They
that
were.
Worked.
And sometimes I wasn't sure if it was the 3D that made it look a little more cheesy, if it would have looked better if it was a flat 2D image. Yeah. Potentially.
Newsflash, we saw it in 3D, and for the third time, three out of three times, they effed up the 3D, so it was screwed up for the first 5 minutes of the film.
Yeah.
Again.
This time it was a quick fix, though. It was probably just the wrong lens. But
they didn't have to
stop. Very bright scenes were flickering and promising migraines for everyone.
Yeah. Which you let everyone know.
I did.
Congratulations.
I did. A couple people caught it, and the people behind us who were I didn't know at the time, but were due to speak... throughout the entire film, commenting on everything that was going on, we're questioning what I said. So,
and for the record, yes. As this 3D terror was happening at the beginning, and I don't know if there was something wrong with the kid or he's just a product of our times. The young lad in front of us said, "Hey, mom, what's wrong with the TV? Hey, what's wrong with the TV?" That's what he said. So let's just say let's just say he's a moron. That's all I'm going to say.
Sure.
We won't go any further than
I
that.
I will agree with moron status.
I was going to say one thing about the special effects. I have to say that the way that they made Chris Evans look as a scrawny wimp was amazing.
Stunning. It's seamless.
Yeah. That was a perfect use of computer-generated imagery. It worked perfectly.
I think we all thought it was all going to be, you know, his head copied and pasted onto a scrawnier person's body.
I don't know how they did it.
I think they used that at times. I don't think that was the case all the time. They used a lot of just, you know, old school Hollywood trickery to make him look small. I think the scenes where he's, you know, got his shirt off and he's clearly not the muscle beefcake that Chris Evans is, they had to use a body double in that case, but...
It was amazing.
Yeah, it was stunning. It was absolutely, you bought into it completely, so bravo.
And in terms of other visuals, I think they did a great job of capturing Captain America's different outfits. They gave him three different outfits through the through the movie, which one was a direct callback to kind of the original pajama-looking outfit that he wore. There was one that is kind of his soldier look. Which,
sort of just kind of cobbled together with whatever he had on hand to get into. He had to go take care of some business. So,
which definitely is seen in more of the modern interpretations of his early history. And then he has his regular outfit that he wears at the end, which is closer to the Captain America, which is modernized, but yet fits the time.
I thought the outfit looked just fine. They didn't spend enough time introducing it, because it was pretty much just like,
here you go.
Hey.
Strap it on.
I've got some ideas about the outfit, and there you go. Next thing you know, we're into a montage.
Yep, the movie moves pretty fast.
It does.
Or as a kid would say, the TV show moved pretty fast.
Yep.
Hugo Weaving's makeup as a Red Skull was cool. Looked exactly how it should.
Yeah.
Hugo had a couple of different looks. So he had the leather-clad Red Skull, and he also had casual Red Skull that I pointed out to Jared. It was very nice. Sort of a silk and leather combination.
You know, sometimes a Red Skull needs to kick back.
It absolutely does.
Drink a schnapps and have a good time.
His accent strangely sounded a bit like Arnold Schwarzenegger to me.
A little bit. I think you could quibble a bit that maybe Hugo Weaving in his human face, which is... as we find out later, is actually a mask. I don't think that's a surprise to anyone either. When you look at the Red Skull features underneath, it's a little bit more knobby and detailed than you would think could fit underneath this false human skin that he... but hey, you know what? We're quibbling if
all
we're talking about that.
All you do is pick nits, Jared.
I know, we're picking nits. So if I'm going to go down the nitpicking road, a couple things initially I thought, like, early first act might have moved a little bit slow.
Mm-hmm.
I look back on it now, and it's like, it wasn't so bad.
And don't you think, like, the end of the second act almost felt like it could have been the end of the movie?
Potentially, yeah.
I mean, it was because they have a couple major battles, and both of them feel like, hey, this is a fitting end to the film.
I felt the segue into the montage was a bit abrupt.
Yes.
But, as you said, they do move the pace along, and it's I think it's a good
ride.
There's
a lot of story to tell. My final comments on this is I... this movie, if anything, makes me very excited for the Avengers and how you have all of these different types of characters. You've got the Tony Stark character, which, by the way, we forget to say that his father was in here. And sort of
Howard Stark.
They sort of channel that same sort of snarkiness and confidence that Tony has.
Yes.
And I think that's
it's a different, though. It's a 40s confidence, which is very, very interesting.
Yes. But getting back to the Avengers, I think that you've got, you know, this innocent, earnest, but willing and dedicated soldier. You've got Tony Stark, who is the guy that's willing to make a buck, but also save the world. You've got Thor, who is a god on Earth, possibly. Who else we got? We have
Incredible Hulk, who's the beast within.
Yes, and then we'll have Hawkeye.
Who's all id.
We'll have Hawkeye, who is the soldier who shoots a bow and arrow.
Is he going to be a key role?
Yes,
he
will be. Interesting. And then you've got Black Widow, who is the sexy assassin.
Cool.
How this all plays together, I have to think, could be very, very exciting. And this movie sets it up perfectly.
If the Avengers is done as well as the rest of the Marvel films leading up to it have been, I think we're in for a treat. I mean, if we look at all of the core films that have been put out there to establish the characters and create the universe, all building up to this Avengers, they've all been good, if not excellent, films.
Yes.
I'm even including The Incredible Hulk in that, because I actually like that one.
I'm a little bit down on that compared to you.
I think it's above average, at least, at the very least.
I would give it a C+, B minus.
Okay. That's above average.
There it is.
There you go.
So it's a good setup.
For them to put out a series of films like that to establish these characters and then build to a big old team-based film,
good on them.
Great. It's awesome. And if Avengers falls flat, look out. But you know, I think it's in the hands of probably one of the premier ensemble directors of our time, Mr. Joss Whedon, and I think we're in good hands. So there.
I think so. So let's wrap this thing up. It's about 100 degrees in the car. We are in the last day, hopefully, of the Minnesota heat wave.
Yes.
So let's give this thing a score.
The Scope score is 3 1/4 stars.
So there you go. A great score.
A welcome change of pace from the last couple of films we've seen. The Transformers and Green Lantern.
One last thing. Better or worse than Thor? The other Marvel superhero.
I'm going to go a little better. Better than Thor.
Better than
Thor. What do we give Thor?
I don't know. I hope we don't give it higher than a 3.
Yeah, I think it's better. And if we gave Thor higher than this, then we were wrong at the time. I'm just saying that.
Okay.
I feel like we gave that a 2.75. That's what I want to say. Okay. 2.75.
All right.
I could be wrong about that.
So Captain America,
go
First
see
Avenger,
it.
Go see it. Thanks for listening, Scope fans. We'll talk to you next time.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying arrivederci. Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.